This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Oh, yeah. We're getting funky on a Tuesday. What's up? What's happening? Welcome in. It's the Hoffman Show on the Team 980. Always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Anthony, I went back and reviewed the tape of the show yesterday. We do watch tape on ourselves. Actually, I mean, sometimes I do. I'm like, how did we actually do on that segment? Did I suck at that or was that good? I did see that made a bit of a whoopsie on the camera angle yesterday. Somehow it got sideways. I was doing a lot of reading on the screen yesterday, so I wasn't monitoring where I was placed in the frame, and my head was not on the frame.
Was it like cut off?
Yeah, I was like up here, and I was like, whoopsie days. Good job out of me on that. Also, just for your notes, I was able to, as you saw on Instagram, I put Anthony to work on Monday on top of being a producer at Mystics Media Day. He was our photographer. I was like, here's my, not crazy expensive, but my real photo taking camera, take photos. And we got some great shots. I will say, in the future, if you want to start wider, you can edit. It's easier to edit down than it is to try to add stuff. So okay. There's a couple times it was kind of tight and I was like, oh, we're going to make this work.
Yeah. I got to work on my shot diet.
Yeah. Well said. I will say, though, and I will tell you, Anthony, the radio audience listening right now, and never tell Instagram. Where's my phone? Anthony, you have your phone, right? Go to my little swipe at Hoffman.sports of the behind-the-scenes photos of everybody, or of us yesterday at Mystics Media Day, and swipe over to the shot with Sidney Johnson. The top two rows of seating are AI generated.
I am in tears.
I was cropping it and I was like, I don't know, Photoshop. What happens if I put in this little AI prompt? Add more seating at the, or like, you know, fill in the seating. Looks perfect.
It does. It looks like a normal shot.
You want to know some other crazy one? Swipe one more. The behind the scenes. This is one of my favorite shots you took. With Sony.
Uh-huh.
My earpieces.
Oh, you fixed it.
They were the wires look super messy. And I was just like, get out of here. And then the other one, with Sid, this one you can kind of tell with Sidney Johnson. If you scroll in and you're like, hey, he's got an earpiece in, and then the wire never comes out of his head.
Is it because you...
Yeah, that was me being super sloppy. There was a wire that was sitting on my shoulder.
Yeah, I remember this.
You'll see it if you watch the video, which will be up on YouTube next week. But there you go. Now the folks know. That's the only photo editing I do, though. I'm not here trying to take, like, I don't know, fitness pictures and bulk up my muscles. I'm not doing that. I'm not pinching anybody's waist. We're not manipulating anything that matters. We're just making the photos look a little prettier behind the scenes. Although there's still a lot of stuff on the table, you can still see we were probably messier than we should have been. It's going to look all great on the camera that's the video. Our chat with Lucy Olson, Mystic's second round pick, is on the site now at Hoffman W Sports. And then we're going to air a bunch of interviews starting Friday here on the station, and then they'll make their way into the podcast feed as well. But Anthony, today we are not talking about WNBA draft picks. We're talking about NFL draft picks. We'll also talk about the Commanders' return to RFK. Tom Sherwood is the political analyst for WAMU's Politics Hour with Kojo Namdi. And Tom is as well versed in the inner workings of DC politics as anyone. And I'll just say this real quick, and then we're going to do Vibe Check Tuesday, pure draft for the rest of the hour. I feel like, especially in our current political climate, when people hear politics, they like think of a million things that aren't what we're going to have to talk about. Real politics, like there's a difference between like things that have been politicized and real politics, in my personal opinion, right? And the stuff that we're going to deal with the commanders and RFK is like old school real politics. It's not even like party against party, because pretty much everybody on the DC City Council is Democrat, Democratic mayor, but these are people that believe different things. We've had multiple council members already come out and say they're a hard no. There's no way you can get their vote on what will ultimately need to be 7 votes to get the RFK Stadium site plan approved that the mayor announced yesterday with Josh Harris and Roger Goodell. And the personality stuff that's at play is pretty significant in terms of the characters involved, in terms of the in terms of the deals that might have to be made. Hey, we'll do this for you over here, we'll scratch your back, you scratch ours. Like, we're gonna get into that, but I also am very confused about the way the process goes, and so we're just gonna start with like a civics lesson basically with Tom. Explain to me how DC City Council works and why they haven't been involved at all during this entire thing. So we'll get to that coming up with Tom Sherwood at 5 o'clock. But next at 301-230-0980, it is a Vibe Check Tuesday. Commanders draft, the NFL draft in the books. What'd you think of it? We take your calls next. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too. At the Team 980, although I've been told we don't have audio right now on YouTube, but we are working on it. So 1 second to the YouTube crowd. Our engineers are working very hard to get that back straight in, and we will get that back up and running as soon as we possibly can. As for right now, though, on the phones with you at 301-230-0980, it is 301-230-0980, where you can let us know your thoughts on the Commanders draft class. Let's go to Mark to get things started. Mark, thanks for calling. You are on the Hoffman Show.
Thanks, Craig. I like the draft. I love the draft, but I would not have complained if we would have got the edge rusher from BC, simply because in ESPN's top 100 and I think Reuters or something like that, they were ranked similarly. And I think, you know, Connerly, eventually he will be a starter, but right now it's depth for the offensive line, and we're going to have a dominant offensive line when Cosme gets back. But, I we're still a question mark. I think Peters is going to pick up a veteran. I know he's going to pick up a veteran. Okay, he has to, and we have the money. But, like I said, I kind of like that guy. I would have loved to have that edge rusher. And the cornerback was a complete steal. He's going to be a starter. I love that. That pick the most. A lot of people don't understand this draft simply because it all hinges on Lattimore. If Lattimore is a bust, we're in trouble. We gave up the 3rd and 4th for him. I think he's going to bounce back because he's always been a dog, and I can't see it. So that's pretty much how I view it.
Yeah, Mark.
What about you?
Mark, I think you bring up some interesting points. I appreciate you calling. I happen to have Anthony. I brought it in. I have the hard copy of The Beast now in studio, in this studio as opposed to my home studio, just because I decided that I wanted to have it here for me and Russell. But easily just turn to the back cover and let's see. Oh, Donovan Ezeraku, 22. Josh Connerly was 23rd on Dane Brugler's final top 100. They're very similar buckets of prospects according to a lot of people. However, those people do not include the people in the Commander's front office. And I don't know what they, at this point, I don't know what they thought of Ezeraku. I do know what they thought of Connerly. They had a first-round grade on him. And I'm talking like a top 15 first-round grade on him. And I know that because Adam Peters told Connerly on the phone, we were sweating from the second the Bears picked, or the Bears were on the clock at 10, right? So when Kelvin Banks goes off the clock at 9 to the Saints, they're freaking out that, according to them, he's the next tackle. And luckily for them, no one else went that route. The teams that did went like Donovan Jackson, who's kind of a guard-tackle hybrid. Booker goes to Dallas. So there is offensive line talent that comes off the board. Gray Zabel to Seattle at 18. But none of the tackles go. And I would guess that Adam Peters had Josh Connerly higher than all of them. And yes, position of need versus best player available, like that's the endless debate during draft season. But at the end of the day, like they're in the draft to take guys for the long term. And they got the guy that they thought was better, not just this season, but beyond. Because, you know, next year when Andrew Wiley's gone and Nick Allegretti's gone, like you need an offensive tackle. Okay, well, you got one that you now think is a top 15 player in the draft, and he's already in your building and has been for a year. I think from Ezeraku's standpoint, like, I don't know that he finished the way that they want to finish. I don't know if he ran as well as they want for the profile of that position. Clearly, he's a good football player. Hopefully, Josh Connerly's better because they're now going to go against each other multiple times per year. But that is kind of where we are on that front. I do think the Lattimore point is a good one. Lattimore, productivity this year, his level this year, it's got to be really, really high. And frankly, he's got to be high enough that they want to keep him into the future as well. But if they don't, that pick is going to hurt. Like I would say the counter to that counter is they didn't like this draft class. I think they knew that going back into the season. They didn't feel like they were going to be able to get corners. They didn't feel like they were going to be able to get wide receivers in this class that fit what they wanted, which is why they make the Debo trade. And then ironically, they get kind of a Debo future replacement piece in Jalen Lane. And then they're able to get a corner in Trey Amos that I think they had no thoughts that they could get a guy like that at 61. So sometimes you just don't know, but you'd rather be in their position where they've got too many, and then all of a sudden you have to figure it out at another position that you feel okay at on the edge, and especially if you were to go sign like Za'Darius Smith, you feel at okay at on the edge, versus you're caught after the draft having it not had broken your way and not having addressed it when you had opportunities to otherwise, and that is that is a much worse look than where they are right now. Let's go back to the phones, 301-230-0980 to Chris. Chris, how you feeling about this Commanders draft on a Vibe Check Tuesday?
What's up, Craig?
What's up, man?
Yeah, man. The way I feel, like the last call, I'm just like, he said Connelly is like a deaf person, deaf. I disagree with that.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you mentioned like that because I meant to say that as well. Yeah, I think Josh Connerly is going to be the starting right tackle this year and beyond.
Not the first person to say that. Like they're just poo-pooing this dude because they didn't know him. You know what I'm saying? Like. He has really good feet, you know what I mean? Once he gets the NFL workout, with a real offensive line coach from the NFL, I'm pretty sure he'll be pretty good. It's the lowest bust potential you can have, offensive line, right? Correct?
Yeah, you know no, it is. So, and real quick, just to double-click on that, the reason, Chris, that offensive line is the lowest bust potential is because it's the most easily translatable position. What the things you do in college are mostly what you do in the NFL. The amounts are different, running, passing, and you can get, obviously, better or worse coaching. But it's so much more similar than to basically any other position on the field that you know, hey, this offensive lineman is going to be what we thought he's going to be versus the wild surprises you get at other positions.
Thank you, Craig. You know what I'm saying? So that's all I'm saying. Then it's like everybody's crying, oh, we need a rush. We didn't get a rush. It's like y'all just want to take a rush just anybody. Y'all just want to take a rush just to say we took a rush in or DN or whatever. Like, you know what I'm saying? Then the thing is, if it don't work out the first week, y'all going to be mad talking about he ain't all that good. So the way I thought about it is we picked the best players available for what we needed or what we wanted to do. But I'm just so tired of hearing people talk about, oh, my gosh, we didn't get an edge. June 1st cuts are coming. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a lot of things going on. So I think we need to pump our brakes on judging, Adam and them about as far as not getting the edge in this draft, per se. You know what I'm saying? That's how I feel about it.
Yeah, no, I totally agree, Chris. Thanks for the call. I I think you can say two things at once. I would have loved for them to get an edge in this draft. I would have loved for Shamar Stewart to fall. I would have been perfectly fine if Ezraku was the pick. I would have been perfectly fine with many of the other edge options. Or not, you know, depending on how the draft fell, if it had fallen differently. I would have loved if Femi Oladejo had fallen all the way to them at 61. I would have loved if, you know, David Walker and that group of edges that fell or went right before Jalen Lane in the fourth round. I think it was five of the previous seven picks before they were on the clock at 128 were edge players. And there's like a bunch of dudes that Logan loved in that for them as fits for the Commanders. Sometimes it doesn't break that way. And by the way they tell it, they wouldn't have cared. All those edges could have fallen. They still would have taken Jalen Lane because he was the best player on the board when day three, round four opened. Like, if they had the first pick of the fourth round, they would have taken Jalen Lane, the way they tell it. Is that them, you know, doing the thing that NFL GMs always do? Sure. Maybe. But that also could be exactly the truth. And so you just have to trust that they have a vision for these guys. And, Puka Nacua is the ultimate example. I've told this story before, but there's this great behind-the-scenes video of the Rams on the day they drafted Nacua where Les Snead looks at Sean McVay and is like, who do you want? And Sean's like, I want the Nacua kid. I got a plan for him. And then he goes out and has 1,500 yards as a rookie and breaks every rookie receiving record known to man. I'm not saying that's going to be Jalen Lane, but I am saying that the Commanders have a plan for what they want to do with Jalen Lane, how they want to use him offensively, how they want to develop him, his special teams role. I'm assuming he's going to be the punt returner. None of this stuff has to be that complicated, but you have to know how you want guys to fit. And for an offense that wants to have range, wants to be super athletic, wants to be able to get to the edge, a guy like Connerly, who's a great athlete at the position, is a great fit. For the physical man-to-man style that they would like to play defensively, Trey Amos is a great fit. He fits their mold of corner. They like long guys, rangy. You can get their hands on guys and have good ball skills. Like, Trey Amos is that. And so they did exactly what they wanted to in this draft. And they also set themselves up to where they couldn't really move around a lot. And that's, I think, the last piece of this to remember is because of the Lattimore trade, because of some of the other moves that they made, the Tunsil trade obviously being the big one here, but also the Debo trade, they didn't have the draft capital to say, oh God, there's edges coming off the board. Let me go up and get one. They just had to live with where they were. And I think they may do quite all right with that. 301-230-0980 is the phone number. What you think of Adam Peters' second draft with the Commanders? 301-230-0980. It's a Vibe Check Tuesday here on The Hoffman Show. It's The Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We are always live as well on the free Odyssey app, and we're back on YouTube at the Team 980. Thanks to Daniel and Tom, our engineers. Flipped to Daisy some cables, Anthony. Some literal wires got crossed.
Love that then.
Yeah.
Big fix.
Yeah. I mean, truth be told, they're working on stuff because we're working on getting better performance out of these computers in here on the back end. And so the test and you got to be like, plug it into the test computer, plug it back in to this computer. And when they plug it back, it got crossed. But then Daniel, uncross it and plug it back. And ta-da! Now we're here.
Hey, that's what they get paid to do, man. Solve problems.
Yeah. Yeah. And hilariously, often the first thing they, you know, as any engineer does when you come to them with a problem, it's like, would you unplug it and plug it back in? and this wasn't exactly that, but they, because I didn't touch it. They plugged it and they unplugged it and plugged it back in just in the other one. And then, yeah. Commenter on YouTube says, now you need better Wi-Fi. It's not Wi-Fi, it's hardwired internet, and we're working on it, which is literally why this problem happened in the first place, because we're working on it. It's been a little glitchy in the past. We're trying to fix. We see you. And we're working on it. We're doing our best here at the Team 980. 301-230-0980 is the phone number. 301-230-0980. That's the number to call to get your thoughts in on the Commanders draft on a Vibe Check Tuesday. Anthony, we have empty phone lines at the moment. Ta-da! Blank screen. So, one, that means people can call in and they'll be the first in line. Two, it means I get to ask you, how'd you think they did this weekend?
I was surprised that we didn't take an edge just because this draft, leading up to the draft, all we talked about was how deep this class was at defensive end. And, we didn't draft one. So I was more so surprised on that front, but also Just looking at, you know, how AP and Lance Newmark, they do business, it just seemed like, you know, they wanted to draft whoever the best player available was. Last year, they took that route, and this year, even in their answers on Saturday and Sunday, they addressed that and said, we took the guy that was highest on our board, and, you know, they're in a position where they don't necessarily need to draft for need. They can draft by best player available. So I'm fine with, you know, their approach. I think, as you just said, they'll have a plan for all the guys they just took. And to be honest, it just seemed like what was consistent amongst all the guys we got, they're like really athletic, they're fast, and they're explosive. So that was like consistent theme amongst all of our draft picks.
No doubt. And I think that you put it really well there when you said, you know, like you were surprised, right? Because I guess I am also surprised, but I'm not disappointed.
Yeah.
I'm not like, oh, what are they doing? We're not going to have... Did you see, by the way, the thing that happened to our guys up in Buffalo with Brandon Bean, where they were talking about you know, them not drafting a receiver right before Bean came on, and then he just like ripped into him as soon as he got on the air?
Oh, no, I didn't see that.
I want to... I've been on their show a bunch. I want to see if I can get one of those guys on later in the week. It's on my...
Wow.
It's on my to-do list. Remind me for like Thursday. I think Thursday would be ideal to do that. The Jeremy and Joe show. Joe and Jeremy up on WGR in Buffalo. But I don't think that if Adam Peters was listening to us right now, to be clear, Adam, I don't think you made a mistake. It just kind of surprised the board fell the way it did. And I think it's really important to point that out too. Like some of this is how the board fell. And Connerly being there when they did not expect him to, and they would have needed a Michael Williams, a Shamar Stewart, someone like that to fall. And I'm not surprised, you know, for all the Stewart versus Ezeraku stuff that we did, like I'm not surprised that Stewart went and Ezeraku didn't in the first round. I'm just not, because the more I talked to people and the more I thought about what works at the NFL level, it's guys like Shamar Stewart. Now, there's a long list of guys that don't work out in terms of, you know, the Tyree Wilsons and guys like that who are way overdrafted as physical freak types on the edge. But there's an equally long list of guys that have a ton of production at the college level that are lacking in traits and don't wind up being productive guys in the pros. So it works both ways. And I think the way the board fell with those five edges coming off between 121 and 127, or four edges coming off between 121 and 127, certainly could have affected it. And that was kind of the end of the edges. After that, there wasn't a ton more guys. And, you know, Fadil Diggs from Syracuse, someone that some guys liked. He went off the board in the seventh. They could have gotten him, but they chose to go to the running back direction. And that's the other thing too. I think when you look at the positions, like running back, I think everyone wanted them to take one of those. Corner, everyone wanted to take one of those. Receiver, everyone wanted them to take one of those. Corner and offensive tackle, what are you going to do? Sub out the offensive tackle? I guess. Tackle for edge, and I think everyone's, you know, less surprised, but they took the guy they thought was better. And at the end of the day, considering what their definition of better has looked like so far, Anthony, considering they made the NFC Championship game last year, kind of hard to argue with.
I'm not even going to lie. I was on the phone. So
I literally all you missed was what I just told you when you were off the phone, because I was looking right at you.
Oh.
They made the NFC Championship game.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. So it's hard to argue that they don't know what they're doing.
Oh, yeah. No, I would agree. I would agree.
All right. That's all we needed out of you. All right. Back to the phones. 301-230-0980. Let's go to Daryl. Daryl, thanks for calling. You're on the Hoffman Show.
Hi. I'm a first-time caller, long-time listener.
Oh, thanks, Daryl. Appreciate that. Welcome to the show.
All right. Yeah. They remind me of when Bobby Bethel was there. They never picked big-time players. He always picked players that seemed like they were more hungrier from smaller schools. And as I was saying, I think like Brian Robinson, the running back we pick, he runs just as hard as Brian Robinson, but he's a little shiftier. So just in case this year he doesn't work out, we got somebody in place. And when you look at the cornerback, if one of our cornerbacks don't work out this year, that guy looks like he can play. If the linebacker retires this year, then not the linebacker, the receiver we got, Debo, acts crazy with a big contract. You need a big contract. This guy probably could step in for Debo. I mean, I just think they pick players that they were ready to. If we lose certain players, we can put these players in place. And I think every last one of them players will be able to contribute this year. I do believe that.
Yeah, Daryl, I appreciate the call, man. Thanks for calling in, and thanks for listening to the show for a long time before you did. I think we get a little out over our skis sometimes by assuming that every draft pick is going to work out. But to Daryl's point, if these guys work out, Trey Amos is the long-term either replacement for Lattimore or a guy who can play outside of Mikey Sanders still, and then some other corner of the future once Lattimore retires, but with Lattimore for whatever number of years. And I'll say this, too, in response to both of those calls. The corner cliff is steep, and when guys are cooked, they sometimes are just like, it's Instapot, bro. It's microwave. Like, they go from prime to done like that. And hopefully that is not the case with Lattimore because he had good days last year, but that hamstring just never was quite right. And hopefully he can get back to what he was even 2 years ago. Nevertheless, you're never probably getting the prime Marshawn Lattimore, like 2019 Marshawn Lattimore again. But can you get 2022 Marshawn Lattimore? That seems far more on the table. But Amos, certainly a guy that they want in the long term. All their running backs are on one-year deals. And so, yeah, Kroski Merritt is a guy that is a really intriguing runner. Like, watching him run is fun. He's unorthodox in his style. And in a lot of ways, like Jalen Lane, the receiver, he runs more like a running back than Kroski Merritt does. And Kroski Merritt kind of runs like a wide receiver. Like, Anthony, if you think of how a running back runs, you think of like big, stout, wide, like wide base. They're chopping people down. They're low to the ground. They're trying to bowl people over. And you think of like some of these wide receivers that look like they're like salsa dancing while they run. Kroski Merritt runs like that. It's crazy the balance he has.
It gives like Darren McFadden almost like short, quick, choppy steps kind of thing where he's explosive to me anyway.
He's so, like, his acceleration rating on Madden is going to be very high. I don't know. His speed rating, not as high. And actually, here, hold on.
4.45, Craig?
I mean, that's good for like a 92. It's not like he's a 99 speed guy.
Nah, not at all.
Where's his measurables? Yeah, 4.45, 2.59, 20. But he had a 1.50 10-yard split.
Oh, yeah.
Which means you get from nowhere to somewhere quick. His three, like, it's kind of funny. His three cone was, or his short shuttle was only 4.44, which, like, isn't that elite. Like, you got guys that run the 4.1s for short shuttle. But his vertical was 41.5 inches.
God dang.
And his broad jump is 10.4. So, like, really, I actually wonder if he slipped on the short shuttle, because that time doesn't make any sense with any of the other stuff that he does. Unless he's got bad footwork, and, you know, that's probably not ideal for a running back, but also watch his feet on tape and you'll be like, that guy's got great feet. So I don't know if he can pass protect at all. I don't know, like, his vision isn't elite, but he just like squeezes holes and finds ways, and he doesn't bounce off guys. Like some dudes are just bowling balls and guys bounce off him. He absorbs contact and just kind of seems to shed it off. It's like, you know, water off his body. It's wild to watch him run. It is. Again, he's playing in Alabama State, and then he's playing at New Mexico, and he's got one game at Arizona. So it's not like he's playing the world's best defenses here. Going to be different when NFL dudes hit you. But he could definitely, he's a part of this team probably moving forward. And it wouldn't surprise me if he can catch a kickoff if he's their kick returner as well, with Lane being the punt returner. And then maybe he's the other guy back there if they don't want to put Austin Ekeler back there again. So I'm excited to see what they can do with this group for sure. And again, I think they have a plan for him. I think that they know what they want to get out of him. And, you know, to say like, oh, Jalen Lane will be able to replace Debo. Debo is one of the best weapon pieces that this league has ever seen. Like, he's so unique. But if you're looking at just this version of Debo, can he be something similar? Yes. If you think that like, oh, Jalen Lane will be what Debo was in San Francisco, no. But in 2 years, who's the better player, Jalen Lane or Debo Samuel? I would not be surprised at all if it's Jalen Lane. I hope for Debo's sake that it's Debo. I hope that he's got more left in the tank. But his physical style, the way that he's played, there's always a chance, and you got to prepare for those types of things. And we know that clearly, based off the Debo trade and this draft pick, Jalen Lane's and that kind of piece is one that they want in their offense. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980 is the phone number where you call us and give us your take on the Commanders draft on a Vibe Check Tuesday here on the Hoffman Show. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We're streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980. Tom Sherwood, WAMU political analyst, joins us coming up at 5 o'clock because he knows more about D.C. City Council than anybody I can think of, and that is where the Commanders' attention focuses next when it comes to their return to D.C. and the RFK Stadium site. So we'll talk to Sherwood about what lies ahead for Josh Harris on the lobbying front, what chances he thinks there are, and he'll give us all the civics lesson on why we have to go through this whole process in the first place coming up at 5 p.m. Right now, though, we continue our Vibe Check Tuesday, 301-230-0980, where you can tell us how you feel about the Commanders draft. Let's go to Gary in Upper Marlboro. Gary, good to hear from you. How are you doing?
Hi, Craig. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for calling, man. What you got on the draft for me?
Overall, I'm pleased with the players that they drafted. I think that, you know, the two players, the top players, Amos and the left tackle, I think they're probably immediate starters. And so I think that's good. The other players down, you know, down the draft, we have to wait and see. But they look like they're going to be contributors, at least one on special teams and a couple on special teams. So overall, I think it was a good draft class. The only concern that I have, and it's probably a concern that a lot of people have, is, you know, there were some defensive ends that were edge rushers that were taken that, you know, the Cowboys took a guy that a lot of people thought had a first-round grade on him. And I understand the whole thing of surrounding Jaden with talent on the offensive line, but that is a glaring weakness that they have on defense in a division that has a lot of good quarterbacks, and they're going to be playing better quarterbacks this year than they did last year. I just wish they would have done something with the defensive end. And it's probably making up for a mistake that they made last year in the draft by not getting a left tackle in the second round. There were a couple that were available, and they didn't take it. So now they're not happy with the left tackle at the end of last season, and they've thrown a lot of bodies at that now. All the picks that they had to give up for Laremy Tunsil, and now this first-round pick. So I hope they're not repeating the same mistake at defensive end that they made last year where they go out in free agency or go out in the trade market next year and give up picks to get a defensive end. But overall, I think they did a pretty good job with the players that they draft.
So, Gary, let's pull on that string a little bit because I don't know that that's entirely fair, but I'm willing to hear the argument here. Who did they pass on last year that you would trade for Mike Sainristil?
Well, no, I'm not talking about Mike Sainristil. I'm talking about Jayron Newton.
No.
Didn't they have 3 second-round picks?
They did. That you would trade for Johnny. That's fine. Pick your player. That you would have rather them taken who than Johnny Newton last year?
Or Sinnott. Sinnott was a second-round pick too, wasn't he?
Sure. And Sinnott's an easy one to pick on right now. We didn't know that at the time. Sure, but even so, who is the left tackle? There's one immediately that comes to mind that probably would have been a better use of the pick. But is there anybody that's screaming to you? There's a second round tackle last year that you were like, oh my God, this would have solved their problems.
The kid. I mean, I don't know if he would have been an All Pro, but the kid from Baltimore, okay, he was a tackle that was available, and there was a kid from Miami that was available. Now I don't think he had a good season last year. In all fairness. But it would have been easier for them to address the left tackle in the second round last year with 3 second-round picks than waiting, because the same argument that we're making now, you want to protect your star player, that was the same last year. I mean, you wanted to protect Jaden. So now, because they did not draft a left tackle, they now have given up draft picks for Laremy Tunsil and then used another first-round draft pick for left tackle. So all I'm saying is if they'd done that last year and were comfortable with the left tackle that they drafted, they would have 2 or 3 more players on their roster right now.
So
and I don't want them to repeat that for the defensive end.
of course, I don't want them to have to do anything crazy either next year for a pass rusher. But you're talking about Roger Rosengarten, who played right tackle for Baltimore last year. And then Patrick Paul's the player in Miami, and he's the one I was thinking of. The Dolphins really like Patrick Paul, but I don't know that Patrick Paul had a better season than, say, Brandon Coleman at left tackle. They did address left tackle last year, and ultimately they liked the player, I think, Coleman, probably more than they liked those other guys, and they clearly liked who they took in the second round over. And that's the other thing this year is, like, you can say you want Ezeraku from Boston College instead of Connerly, and I'll hear that based off of need, but I will also tell you, they had, I think, a first-round grade, like, as in top 15-level grade on Connerly, and they did not have that clearly on Ezeraku, and I know at least one other team that I talked to, if not multiple teams, that agreed with that, that Ezeraku is just simply not as good of a player, and so you have to then play the game of, are you willing to take worse football players in a league where churn and turnover is really, really significant for a position of need in one singular season? And the other part of this, Gary, that I think is worth mentioning is we need some acknowledgement of how big the hole is here that Adam Peters dug out of. I don't want to lose track of that. The fact that this roster was arguably the worst in football, or one of the two worst in football, with the Patriots going into last year, and then they made the NFC Championship game. Just because they made the NFC Championship game doesn't mean that the lack of star power suddenly disappeared. They just were able to figure out how to get around it schematically and with some of the interim pieces that they had.
I agree. I'm not saying it's a terrible roster. I just think that, again, I'm overall pleased with the draft.
For sure.
But I the defensive end thing, though, is bothering me because I'm hearing, out of Dallas and how everyone is raving about this kid. And I just thought it was a glaring weakness going into the draft that everybody was pretty much in agreement with. And then, I know Washington didn't say that. I know Peters didn't say that. So we can say whatever we want. He's the guy. But it seems like that was a glaring weakness. And, again, with the quarterbacks that we have, I don't care how many corners you have. If you can allow the quarterback 5 and 6 seconds to throw the ball, Patrick Surtain can't keep up with wide receivers under those circumstances. So that's sort of why I was hoping that they will push the envelope. Now, it all goes away if they get Fredrickson, okay, or Hendrickson, whatever the guy is. It all goes away. But I was hoping that they would get a defensive end. But the last thing I will say is I think with the left tackle, I'm not so sure how long Laremy Tunsil has with Washington, okay? So this kid can probably come in and step in and take his place. That's a good thing with this because when I'm hearing out of Houston, I got a couple of buddies, they were not at all upset with Laremy Tunsil being traded. Because they think he's slipping. And, so I don't know if that's the case. Hopefully it's not. But at least if they have someone that they can slide in there that has first-round chops to slide in and take his place of 2 years, they want to move on from Laremy Tunsil.
There's definitely a chance. I think the slippage in Tunsil's game is way, way overrated and had to do a lot with the schematic failings of the Houston Texans offensive staff last year, which is why they all got fired. But I do think in the long term, you could be looking at a Tristan Wirfs situation where Connerly eventually, after playing a couple of years at right tackle, flips over to left once someone else leaves. And obviously that someone else would be Tunsil, because while Tunsil could play for 5 more years, he also could play for 2 more years, because that is the nature of being above 30 in the NFL. Gary, appreciate the call as always. Always thoughtful. Really appreciate it. It's Vibe Check Tuesday here on the Hoffman Show. The other thing I'll say quickly about the edge before we get to Tom Sherwood and talk not football, but where they're going to play football starting in 2030, is the hope is that the pass rush gets better, in part because the coverage is better. You can do more stuff on the back end. You can confuse the quarterback with better back end play, and that can take a little extra time to let these guys finish. I also think that the freedom of a guy like Kane Medrano potentially to play in some third down packages, maybe frees Frankie Louvu up to be a rusher more. Their blitz packages are really good. You'd hope that Javonte Jean-Baptiste takes a jump in year two. So there are things that they've done. Dietrich Wise is a good football player. Like, they have addressed the edge. They just don't have like a premier edge rusher. You weren't getting one at 29. You weren't getting one at 61. You weren't getting one anywhere outside of probably the top 5 of most drafts. maybe the top 15, maybe somewhere in the 20s in a very weird draft. And maybe the Commanders will get lucky like that next year with a pretty quarterback heavy top of the 2026 draft. But it's just worth mentioning that you are ultimately, like we talked about in free agency, you're at the mercy of the market, and the market did not afford them an opportunity to take an edge. And I'm not going to hold that against them. I'm going to look at what they did as opposed to what they didn't. Because there was no obvious point, unless you just are gung-ho on Ezeraku over Connerly, that was the obvious move. It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Coming up next, Tom Sherwood on the future of the Commanders' return to D.C. and how they're going to get it through D.C. City Council.